All right, let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Let's go into God's word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is done with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ the Lord is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's just continue the series we are on. We have been on a very interesting series and trying to examine certain truths. So we're looking at Christian meetings. We're looking at Christian meetings, okay? We're looking at Christian meetings. Over here, looking at Christian meetings. Right, go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel. Okay, let's look through Matthew's Gospel. All right, Matthew's Gospel 18. Matthew's Gospel 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 20. Okay. So we decided to start from Matthew's Gospel 18, 20, just for a reason. Right? Looking for where to start from and just to establish certain truths already. We said that this narrative starts from all the way from verse 1. So, but if you look through what the emphasis of verse 20 is, it sort of gives a direction as to what we are trying to communicate with this series. So Matthew's Gospel 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Look at that one more time. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right? Now, one of the things we said on Sunday, or the emphasis we had on Sunday, which is going to be our emphasis as well throughout the series, is actually recognizing meetings, having a sense of recognition for our gathering, our coming together, right? It's very important for us to note that, you know, our coming together is something that's very important, you know, and we ought to give a sense of recognition, right? And recognize that. So we said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. We went a little on Sunday to look through what names we speak about, functions we speak about, presence as well, you know. We said that, you know, where you see "in my name" there, you should see "on account of my work" or "in my presence," right? Also speaking about his presence, rather. For any words or three are gathered together in my name, I would together now speak of presence, speak of authority, you know. And like I said, we have a series in time past that covers the name of Jesus, which is a series we are doing side by side with, you know, in our different and various cells in both churches. Okay, so we speak about we can see the confidence in "I am in the midst of them." So there's an assurance that we have that God is in the midst of them. Now, we also said something on Sunday. We said there is the presence that we receive, you know, or that comes into our hearts. You know, and there's a thing called an atmosphere that supplies. I'm trying to look for a word that will replace that word. That word is not really supply. We have some atmospheres that can follow the atmosphere that carries or passes as a conduit the presence of God. So we can come into the presence of God, right? Even though we have come into and the presence of God is in us. Our together, very important. There's an assurance of the fact that he is with us forever. But there's a thing called an atmosphere where we can actually feel and sense, you know, tangibility of God's presence, right? All right, so one of the things we said on Sunday is in Matthew's Gospel 28, when Jesus will go, will say that, you know, they should go into all the world. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power in heaven, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go in therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, verse 20, now says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So we see a consistency and assurance of the fact, right, that Jesus is with us by his spirit. Now, if you look through John 14, let's put a little more attention on "I'm with you always." Don't forget, "I'm in the midst of you, I'm with you always," Matthew 28. But let's look at John 14 and just pay a little attention to a few things there. John 14. You look at John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, ye believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Look at that one more time, right? In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Altogether, that where I am, there ye may be also. It says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, Thomas now said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known the Father, known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Now, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and suffice us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long without you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Right? He that has seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, one of the things you see from verse 2 is, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. We looked through that in our last series, the series of, we did in January 2025. That was around the new man. Is that the man in Christ? Yeah. So one of the things we said in that series is that the word house there can be used to speak about a family, a household, or a place where a family stays. So you can speak about a place, speak about a people, or can be used to speak about a place or a people. I would trace that conversation all the way back to Genesis in the vision that Jacob was seeing in Genesis 28. So my Father's house, my Father's household are many mansions. I would say the word there, mansions, is the word that means dwelling places. A place where one stays in order to continue, or so that a journey will be continued with a goal to proceed on a journey. You understand the point? Just like an inn, what you call inn. So it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, that where I am also you may be. Right? So in what he says in verse 3, you would realize that he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, right, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That where I am, ye may be. So in that statement, you see Jesus confirming his presence as well again to us as believers. If you go all the way to verse 14, it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, one of the things you must understand is that conversation in verse 13, verse 14 is situated within a context. Altogether, all right. So you know, that's not a scripture you pick and say, God has said, ask for anything and he will give you in my name. No, that's not what he's speaking about, really. And you should understand the context in which, you know, he's been speaking about. Speaking about my Father's house, many mansions. So it means he's speaking about his presence with man, his glorification, you know, his work, you know, for man, in man, through man, and all of that that has to do with that, basically. So, and believe me, verse 11, that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and also greater work, you know, than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So on account of his going to the Father, there will be greater things that will be done. You know, particularly, you must see it as his presence with us. Okay, right. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. You should understand that ask anything in my name does not mean anything. I was together, right? So if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray my Father, right? I will pray the Father, and he shall give you now another comforter. That's what I'm going to verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, the word there, another there, in the Greek is the word allos. Right, in the Greek, you have the, you know, you have the word allos, you have heteros, right? Allos will speak about that which is the same. Right, allos is allos. Etheros is going to be around that which is of another. Right, so and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He may abide with you forever. Okay, right. And now says, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay, I will not leave you comfortless. Verse 18 is an assuring word as well. Again, you don't forget, we are looking at Acts, where two or three are gathered in my name, right there in their midst, there I am, right? And it says, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you, know I'm with you always. So that's his presence, okay? Right? So it means there's the, and let me say it differently, there is the presence of God that man carries, and there's the manifest presence of God. Yeah, that's another way of saying, you know, the presence we can come into, we can be a partaker of. And mind you, you know, there's some of these words that I'm using carelessly because I expect that you've been following us for a while. I expect that you, I'm assuming, right, that you've been, you know, listening to some of the things we've said and some of the context we've put to some of these narratives over the months into years, okay? Right, so it's very easy for us to, you know, because very easy for us to lose track of what we are speaking about or what I'm communicating, you know, to local church. And that's why the local church is very important, you know, which is why we're doing a series like this, all together, right? It's very important that you are giving to a local church. I'm thinking about it this way. Imagine you were to be an engineer, or to a doctor. You know, there is a method that is established in the world whereby you come into the medical school or the engineering school, engineering college from the first year, and there are syllables and sequences of topics that will be taught over the months into the years. Altogether, right? I remember in my first year, there about second year. So prior to that, I can say that to now really. My favorite subject used to be further mathematics. Okay, right. So I used to just love. I've always loved. So up until my senior secondary school, prior to that, I was always loving mathematics as a person. In fact, the first time I had a score not an A in mathematics was my third year. I'm going to give you context to that. So from my nursery school into primary school, as far back as I remember, right, all my mathematics scripts, if I don't do well in any subject, I would always do well in mathematics and ensure I come out. So the first time I saw a score that was not A associated with my name was my third year engineering mathematics in school. And so in primary school into secondary school, definitely I was always first. You know, it wasn't even a debate. I was always first in mathematics all through my, particularly, you know, secondary school and all of that. But when we're going into senior secondary, there was a love of other maths. Prior to that, I had also been introduced to the concept of other mathematics. Right? Some would call it, our parents would call it in their world, additional mathematics. Right? Yeah, but I don't know if they still do it in schools right now, but, you know, it became further mathematics. So further mathematics was my best subject. Yeah. So if I do a mathematics exam and I get a 70 in a mathematics exam, I usually will get a 95, a 90 plus in my further math examination. If I write a CA test over 30 and I get a 22 or 23, which probably might be the highest in the class, I'll probably get a 28, 29 for that. So I just, you know, continue that progression. So I got into university. And in fact, one of the things that, you know, and people had said to me was that, oh, since I'm going for electronics engineering, right, I would do well in that because I love mathematics, some people said so. Right. So eventually got into university, you know, and in the first year, did, you know, mathematics. I think we had, you know, mathematics, I can't remember the exact names we used to call them. Math 101, you know, I think we had Math 101, then Math 102 and 104, vector mechanics. So we just had all of those combinations. Wow, interesting, you know. But interesting thing now happens or begins to happen when I now got into my second year, right? And I got into my third year, right? And I remember in my third year, particularly, I remember his name, Engineer Musa, right? He was a lecturer and then Mr. Ikono, right? They were lecturing us in mathematics. So they divided one mathematics course into two. Then, you know, Mr. Ikono would teach us more of the Laplace, translate, and all of that. Then Mr. Engineer Musa would teach us more of the, the vector, the abstract mathematics. Oh, interesting. You know, why am I saying this? What we were taught, right, eventually from the first year into the fifth year, right, would be what you call, will be all rated under the mathematics world or mathematics word, so to say. So it's mathematics. But you see, in that mathematics, there were certain things that needed to be laid as foundation, right? And as we progress, some other things were now being exposed to us. And that's the same thing about the Christian faith, right? The meal is God's word. Material for our meal is God's word. The meal we eat is, you know, God's love, God's care, God's plan, and all of those things. You know, but as we keep growing, and that's the need for the consistency in, Right? Think about it. Imagine if I did my 100 level trying to be an engineer. In fact, we have people like that who had different switches. You started with computer engineering, then become. In fact, I know someone who started in computer engineering and eventually, switched to computer science in an event. And those are two different worlds. And eventually, now ended up in one of those art courses, right? Yeah. But what that person would come out with eventually might not be as rounded. Why? Because in your first day, you would have missed some very fundamental facts about the last eventual course you came out with. In your second course, you would have missed, you just end up missing lots of things, and eventually you might not be really seen as rounded as much as possible. That's just the truth about it, right? So it would take a lot of painstaking work to now go back into materials that you would have missed to catch up and cover up. And you see, I just use that example to show you the importance of a local church, basically. You come into a local church, and the truth is, you can come into a local church when we are doing 500 level courses. And I hope I'm just carelessly using these examples, right? So that's why when you see me teaching in church, right, and I give some allusions to certain tracks we've done before, it's not because I want to tell you we've done it. It is because I want you to go back and go listen to them. Altogether, it's for you to go back and go listen to them, because it's going to give you a rounded feel of so many things we are talking about, right? So when you come into a local church, right, it's very important that you have in mind to stay for a long time, right? Stay consistently, stay, right? And don't be one who is hopping and jumping from one location to another location, one people to another people, and looking for what is not really lost, right? Yeah. So you would actually have a mindset of patience, right? Having to being able to be calm enough to follow patiently whatever the curriculum is. So you don't go to university and tell them these are the courses, I feel you should teach me. No. Right? They will give you some fundamental courses you cannot do away with. And they will give you some courses where you can say, pick between this or that. Right? Pick between this. I remember when I got to my fifth year or fourth or fifth year there, we started having the opportunity to choose between what you wanted to specialize in as as an electrical electronics engineer. So you could either go into the power world, go into the electronics world. And I think there's a power, there's electronics, and there was one more then at the time, right? So but that'll be after they've laid foundation of say, so that's the only points where you can choose what do you want to specialize in. But when it comes to the Christian faith generally, right, we specialize in the entirety of God's word. Are we together? We specialize in the entirety of God's word. I don't know, also if you've traced back as well, there are some books we used in chemistry, Abaapio, physics, new school physics, some of those books that we used while growing up, right? You notice that eventually you were not taught everything in that textbook from your senior secondary class one, right? They were spread across time, then eventually they covered as much grounds that were needed for you to be rounded, right? What am I trying to say? There's such a need for a structure that can be followed. Are we together? There's such a need for a structure, a pattern that can be followed. Are we together? So it's very important for you to, when you get yourself involved in the local church, see yourself staying there for long. Don't see yourself, just, don't see it as an opportunity for you to spend a while away, particularly if you think someone in your mind that, the local church that you are in is a place where, God's word is placed as priority, right? Just ensure that you have your mind. And also, you have lots of questions, particularly if you jump into your second, like I said, lack of a better example, if you jump into the second year, right? If you jump into Gospel Lab today, for instance, in the middle of a series, there will be certain things we would have said in previous weeks that, it might have been a foundation for what we are doing. I will come because people are going to be joining every week in, week out, month in, month. I will come because of every time everybody is joining and show that we're just teaching. You'll get a point. We would have to, increase a little, but there will be lots of repetition. And that repetition is not just for those who are joining, it's also for those who have been there for a time altogether. So when it comes to the local church, you must ensure that you open your heart to see. So it's God's method for training, God's method for discipleship. The only difference is that for electrical electronics engineering, there's 5 years, space, or 5 years duration. But when it comes to, God's word, it's till your last breath. Altogether, you keep growing to your last breath. You keep growing to your last breath, right? You understand things better today than yesterday. Yeah, there are certain things I understand today better than I understood 3 years ago. Certain things I understand better today than I understood 4 years ago. Even 1 year ago, there are certain things I understand better now than a year ago, right? So there are certain things I will understand 20 years from now, altogether. But you must ensure that you stay within the confines of God's strategy, which is the local church altogether. And that's why we're doing a series like this. So when you look at that, what it says, verse 16, and I will send and it shall give you another comforter. We're saying that the word alos there is the word that speaks about that which is the same. Are we together, right? That he may abide with you forever. Yeah, in Acts verse 17, that is even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it said him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Altogether, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. Now, one of the things that, even myself, I'm getting to understand better is around the use of comforter. Now, it's easier to relegate the use of the comforter to the work of the Spirit alone. But, consistently across scriptures, you'll find out that, that comforter there will be an encapsulation of the Father, the Spirit, the Son. Altogether. So when he says, and that's why you say, I will not leave you comfortless. Another comforter will sound or seem like the Holy Spirit in verse 16. Then Jesus, who is talking in verse 18, will now say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So it means the comforter there will not just refer to the Spirit, but refer to the work of the Spirit, the work of the Son, the work of the Father, or so to say, the Father, Spirit, Son, or Father, Son, Spirit, anyone that floats your boat, right? How do you know? Go all the way to verse 20, right? Yet a little while, verse 19, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me rather, because I live and ye shall live also, right? At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, okay? So he that says, I will not leave you comfortless, he's saying I'm in the Father. And he's the one that spoke about another comforter that is coming, which is our lost paracletos. Are we together? So I will not leave you comfortless. Are we together? At that day, ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me and I in you. Altogether, ye in me and I, he says, he that had my commandments and keepeth them, right? He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Altogether, look at verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26 now says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, right, whom the Father will send in my name. You see, it's a work that is a combination of everything, right? Yeah. But the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. So, you see, believers talk about how, I was giving an example for one of the questions or some of the questions some of you asked a few weeks ago. Right, questions are around how to use scripture to pray, right? And one of the things we said is that you can pray your wish, pray your will, and pray your what you wish for, and all those things, but ensure that you don't take scriptures out of context to back your prayer, right? That's I see Jesus, right? You need to look at allow God's word explain itself. So this is another scripture people go to and they say that it shall bring all things to your remembrance. I would like to have used this over 10 years ago. All right. Years ago, I've used it before to say, Lord, as I'm going to read my book right now, Lord, or maybe I'm in the exam hall. Let me tell you something you don't know. Right. Throughout my school days, right, from my secondary school, maybe it was the end of my secondary school, all through my university days. In fact, my university days, all my mates knew me from my year one up until my final year in school. Right, there was no exam I wrote, right, that I did not end, right, by kneeling down in the hall to pray. Not one. That just flashed my mind right now. Right, there was no single exam I wrote, right, there was not one exam I wrote, and I think I even did it even up until my master's days, if I'm not mistaken. There was not one exam that I wrote, not one. It was impossible, right? There was not a single exam I wrote that that before I started, I'll pray definitely. Whilst in fact, my friends used to say this to me. I knew what I was doing, but I didn't pay as much attention. I didn't know people were paying attention to it until my friends started saying it to me. I never went to the library to read, right, without reading my Bible. Interesting, right? During my school days in that university, majorly, right, for all my readings, anytime I read. So I have a friend usually who, be laughing and just saying that don't go to library YBJ, because if you go to library YBJ, you want to spend 1 hour, just be sure that YBJ can use the first 30 or 40 minutes to read his Bible. then you just read 20 minutes on the book and stop up and leave. I thank God I didn't fail, because eventually it would have been a thing of mockery, right? But every time I read my book, I would always read an average of 3 to 5, sometimes 10 chapters of the Bible before I go into my school notes. So it's a practice. I'm talking about, I started doing this on my 100 level, right? So my first year, right? And I consistently did that all through to the end of my school. And I also who knew them before every submit any of my exam sheet. I was knew them. And usually, like I told you, I would usually sit in front. So I'll be the first person sitting in front, usually the last to come into the exam hall and the first to leave more often than not, right? Yeah, because just to get myself, not to get myself involved in trying to help people or trying anything I don't know, I don't know. So once I get to the exam hall, I'm the last to get to the exam hall, right? And the first to leave. Because once I'm done, I just kneel down straight, everyone kneel down, submit my paper and go. So why am I giving that example? I'm trying to say in some of those kneeling downs, there are some of these scriptures I have as well used, you know, away from the context of the interpretation, right? So one of the scriptures you can use is, for the Bible says the Spirit of God will bring to your remembrance. Look at it again, right? For the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Yeah, you know, you can put that scripture alongside with another scripture that says you need no man to teach you. It's in the Bible, right? For the anointing that is with you, right, that's in you, right? Yeah, teacheth you all things, for you need no one. That's in John, right? If you look through John, go first John, sorry, look at first John 3, if I'm not mistaken. No, it can't be first John 3. That'll be is it first John 3 or first John 2? Yeah, that's why. That's good to know, good to have you. But I know the part of my Bible where it is at the base part. So if you look through for the anointing which is in you, need no man. It could be okay, it's probably first John, let me see, first John 2 again. I think, yeah, if I agree with you, it's actually first John 2, yeah. Yeah. Look at first John 2:20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things altogether. And ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and there is no lie in you. But the emphasis is, I have the unction of the Holy One, and I know all things. There's a part that speaks about, praise God forevermore. For all the same, therefore, and passed away, Jesus, the way of grace, I did the wind out of here, but it's going to be before then, right? And he that says light and children, again, in the commandment is true, shine it. What is that scripture again? I literally was in having that in mind. For all that is world, flesh, little children, I'll probably pick that up and bring your attention to it again on Sunday, right? But it was just around, is linked to that. Oh, sorry, verse 27. But the anointing, yeah, verse 27, that's 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, right? And ye need not that any man should teach you, right? But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, right? And is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide. So you see people say that they don't need any church, they don't need anything, because all things are taught by the Spirit of God. And, you know, they use the Holy Spirit in their ignorance and in their delusion and illusion as well to actually just explain scriptures. And that's a scripture you can run to. You need no man's teaching, right? Just like some brother will say, call no one father, right? You know, so those are scriptures taken out of context. But you need no man to teach you. If you want to listen to the proper explanation of that, go listen to our teaching on the Antichrist. Right, I was listening to it last week. I think, you know, interestingly, you know, I would need to go back to that series and teach a few things there again, right? But I was listening to it last week on the Antichrist. I don't think it's a 5-track teaching, right? And we looked into certain truths in that series, you know. So we explained, you know, what it means by the anointing which is you are received by teaching. You need not that any man teach you. The any man, there's a context of the false teachers, which is in the context of the Antichrist, or those that teach against the work of Christ. So I can pick this scripture alongside with, you know, John 14, and it says when he says that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, you know, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You understand? Those are two scriptures you can juxtapose together and, pray amiss. Pray amiss is now me borrowing the words amiss. But remember, we've taught as well, praying amiss in John 3 and John 4, 1, 2, 3 is not about praying wrong prayers. Interestingly, when you become a Bible student, you'll be careful with your use of words and be careful to also explain some of the things you say. Right, so we used to pray, and scriptures wrongly interpreted is what my mind, because of what I've learned over the years, could allude to praying amiss, even though I know the interpretation of what praying amiss means, right? And that's why I'm giving you a context to it. I'm just trying to explain to you that you see, we've done a teaching on praying amiss and understanding what praying amiss. So, praying amiss in James 4 altogether is not speaking about using a scripture wrongly to pray for a wrong thing. Or praying for something that is not in God's perfect will for your life at that phase of your life. No, that's not what it's teaching there. But you know how we can use praying amiss and borrowing those words to speak about, illustrations or examples in the Bible wrongly interpreted in our place of prayer. So people can pick this scripture and say that for the anointing which is in you, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So people used also do it for example. I used to pray that. By the Lord, everything I've read, you understand? So, when I used to pray for exam, when I used to read for exam, before I read the exam, when I finished studying my Bible, my immediate prayer is, Lord, direct me to where I should read for my exam, right? And a lot of times, not even more, let me not say a lot, most times, I would together. And because I didn't grow up with the culture, let me say this carefully. In my school days, I didn't have a culture I didn't have as much time to read all through my notes. You get that? I didn't have as much time to read through all through my notes. I'm not saying you should not read through your notes, though. Please, if you're in school and you don't go to school, please ensure you read through your notes, right? I'm probably just say privileged, fortunate, lucky, whatever word you want to use for that, right? But I usually would just pay attention to where my certain impressions on my heart on certain topics I should pay attention to. And I eventually study it. If it doesn't come out, like I always tell you, if I study something, it doesn't come out, right? I have to just answer the question they asked me with that answer I know. I went together. That's how I went through school. But thankfully, like I said, I didn't fail. Right. So I want to pray, as I would always pray, before I start examining, Lord, bring to my remembrance the things I've learned. And I'll be quoting John 14. But anyways, we realize that what is being spoken about was, like I said, he's speaking about the household, the family, what his work is going to be, what his presence will be to us, and what his presence will be for us altogether. So it's easy to assume, right, that the comforter there is just about the spirit. But, as a Bible student, you must also always remember that you are an interpreter. You are an interpreter, and also you must be a translator of scripture. So Jesus is with us, how? By the Holy Ghost. Right, so Jesus is with us by the Holy Ghost. So if I say Jesus is with you by the Holy Ghost, which of them is not with you? None of them. All together. So who is with you? Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Jesus by the Holy Ghost is with us. You get the point, right? So if you look at Colossians 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is at the head of all prosperity and power. Right? So if you look through that narrative of verse 9, it says, for in Christ, as in Jesus Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We're together, right? So it means that in our dichotomy of Christ, let me just use a different word for that, in our separation of the concept of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we need to be very careful as to the implications of the things we say. Altogether, very, very careful as a result of the implications of the things that we say. So the comforter in the real sense will be seen as the Father, seen as the Son, seen as the Spirit. So which of them is with the church? The Father, the Son, the Spirit. And that is who Jesus will call in John 14:16. Allos Parakletos, another comforter that is the same. You get the point? So Jesus is the church. So Jesus in Matthew 18 will say, right, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. That's Jesus talking. And Jesus is saying, I will give you another comforter that will abide with you forever. And we're together, right? Another comforter will speak about the Spirit. And Jesus is saying, I'm with you. Altogether. So Jesus did not say, I'm with you, up until, we're looking at it on Sunday. There's something called the faithfulness of God, of Jesus with his church, with his people. Altogether, and is irrespective of the faithfulness of man, faithfulness or lack of faithfulness of man. Are we together? So lo I'm with you always. That means we can call Jesus, or we can see Jesus, right, consistently with the believer, and that's going to be a forever reality. Are we together? Right? Are we together? So when Jesus says I'm with you always, it means that in your theology of eschatology, yeah, you know, we looked at that, you know, a couple of years ago as well in one of the series around navigating your Bible, where we spoke about Christology, eschatology, soteriology, pneumatology. Yeah, let me just give you a quick breakdown. So Christology, study around the concept of Christ, study around Christ and his work and all of that. Soteriology around salvation, soteria, salvation, eschatology, like last day events. And we have pneumatology, study around the work of the Spirit and study around the Spirit, right? Then we have, you know, theology, study of God. You know, we have some other logics that will give some examples around. So in your theology, you must have a proper grasp of, you know, Christology. We've said that over time. So Christology is very fundamental. It's very fundamental to our study of God, our knowledge, our exposure to of who God really is, you know. But in your Christology, let me say this, in your eschatology, you've got to have a proper understanding of Christology. Are we together? What is eschatology? Last day event. What do you think will happen in the last day? What we call last day event? Are we together? Right? So it means that your eschatology, let me say that differently. When you speak about eschatology, about, you know, the second coming of Jesus, you need to now be careful. What exactly is the second coming to speak about? I'm going to pay attention to this on Sunday, right? Second coming. Yeah. If you don't have a proper grasp of theology and Christology, your eschatology will be null and void. Yeah. It's a wrong theology and a wrong Christology or pneumatology that teaches about a believer being able to, that will make someone to teach about a believer being able to lose his or her salvation. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So it means you won't have a proper grasp of soteriology without fundamentally understanding Christology, pneumatology. You understand? We have ecclesiology as well. Ecclesiology is about study on the church, which is slightly what we're talking about in this series and the one we did as well in the previous series, The Man in Christ, right? The birth of the church, the work of the church, the work of the Spirit in the church. That's ecclesiology. Ecclesia, the church, then study logy, right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, just like what you call biology. Right, so all those logies are just used to talk about the study. Also, theology, theology will be coming from two words, logy and theo. Right, soteriology we're talking about going from soteria, and logy, pneumatology, pneuma speak about the Spirit, pneumaticos, things of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:1. We've taught that over time, right? So when Jesus says I'm with you always, it means if we don't understand what the implication of that is, your eschatology will be problematic. Why? Because somewhere in your ideology, I feel so philosophical this evening, right? Somewhere in your ideology, right, you will think that the second coming of Jesus is about Jesus coming from another world, another planet. Meanwhile, if you have a firm grasp of soteriology, Christology, theology, you find out that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit dwells right with you in you. So the second coming will be if you have a good firm grasp, we'll look at that in years to come. But the conclusion is, if you have a good grasp of soteriology, Christology, theology, you'll find out that the second coming is more of a reappearing in a different form. Do you understand? So let me say differently. A reappearing in a different form from. Yeah, from. Are we together? Because Jesus says, lo, teaching them to observe, Matthew's Gospel 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end. That is, I'm with you till the end. Are we together? So let's say in your eschatology knowledge, your ideology on eschatology is around the end. Then Jesus will now come back to ransom the church or to rescue the church. The question is, if you use the word come back without having a full grasp of theology, eschatology, theology, Christology, soteriology, pneumatology, you end up thinking that Jesus is coming from another world, another planet. Altogether. So lo, I'm with you means that when we call or when we teach about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, altogether, we're not really speaking about coming from another world. walk our way together. We're going to be speaking about, you know, a re-emerging, a reintroduction. You know, it is like, for instance, you know how people do weddings, right? You know how people do traditional weddings. For instance, let's say Africans who try to do traditional weddings or court wedding or introduction. You can do introduction in the morning, traditional marriage in the morning, then do what you call white wedding in the evening. You know how, or let me use a typical example you can always think about, wedding and reception. You know how the groom and the husband, the husband and wife, sorry, they wear their white gown, their suit and everything. They are present at that wedding. Then you who attended the wedding, you stay from the beginning to the end. However, you now see that the groom and the bride will go somewhere, listen to what I'm about to show you, then come back. Right, there will be a reappearing, but that appearing to the sight of you who is an attendee of the wedding is to see them in another form. Praise God forever. Yeah, we'll look at that on Sunday. I probably touched that on Sunday. So there's such a thing called Jesus being with us, being with his church by his spirit. All together. Right? So Jesus is with us by his spirit. Jesus is with us by his spirit. Right? So now, in that fact, there are certain things that you must never lose touch of. Right? So when you think about Jesus, you must think about, why is Jesus with you by his spirit? What exactly is the work for? Or what exactly is that reality for? What exactly should we do that reality? So it means that when a man becomes born again, that means he has the indwelling of spirit, there's something he should push you to do. There's something you should push you to do, right? It is to understand his ways, understand his plan. And the fundamental way you understand that and grow in that is by being a committed member of the Association of Gathering of the Saints. So there are certain things you will lose out on if you're not a member, right, of the Gathering of Saints. Like I always tell you, right, there's a difference between watching online, watching through a screen, and being there physically. There's a huge difference. Are we together, right? See, don't let the devil play that fast card on you to make you think that they are the same. No, they're not the same. They're not the same. Yeah, they're not the same. You can eventually have, you know, to benefit from, you know, from your screen, what people are benefiting from being there. But on the grand scheme of things, they are never the same. They're not the same. Like I said on Sunday, right? How many of you will put your trust in a soldier who was trained online? Right? Where the instructor just says, come on, Chris. Yeah? And he just says, put on your camera and put your camera and stand beside your camera. I say, let's try. And they say that's how they train them. How would you put your trust in such a one? Are we together, right? You have to physically be there to be trained. That's the same thing about local church. Are we together? See, can a general communicate instructions to somebody who is being trained through a walkie-talkie, a phone? Yeah, you can do that. But, you know, it's not the same experience. Altogether. So there's such a thing called knowing about what God will want you to do for your life. What's God's purpose for your life? You will find out and grow more in that knowledge by being a member of a local church, right? In the gathering of saints. You will see saints gather together, right? You know, when we gather together, we see the possibilities of God's spirit around us. Altogether. When we gather together, we see what God wants, you know, God wants to be done, which is men being trained. You get the point? Men being trained and men being trained rigorously. I was together. So you don't go to a training, military training school and tell the commandant how you think you want to be trained. No, it's not about how you think you want to be trained, right? It's about how the commander thinks you need to be trained. So who becomes the commander in the setting of a local church? It becomes your angel. I was together, your angel, your messenger, your pastor, right? So the leadership, the pastor will have a template as to how men are trained. It's simple. You either fall in or fall out. I would get that. But in your falling out, if that's what the case, you know, becomes eventually, right, you must ensure it's not a fallout into isolation. It's a fallout into being in God's will, that is to find yourself in another gathering of saints, which is what you call the local church. Again, so we said local church on Sunday is the gathering of those who are born again, who are believers within a locality. Very, 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 very important. The gathering of saints within a local environment, within a locality. Yeah, so there's something called knowing about the ways his plan. Look at Psalm 103. Let me show you something quickly today. Psalms 103, verse 7. Look at Psalm 103, verse 7. Just for our time, look at 7 and 8. Look at, he made known his ways. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. altogether, right? So the question we want to ask is, what exactly is the difference between ways and acts? So ways, we speak about his plan, his motive, right? So Moses knew the motive, the plan, the will, the plan of God, so to say. But the children of Israel knew the act. So it means that people can benefit of the acts of God and not know his ways. Are we together? Right? So people can benefit of his acts and not know his ways. The word their ways is talking about plan. So the children of Israel, they were beneficial of the act. That means they saw the miraculous. They saw the supernatural. So you don't have to be, you know, a Christian in the real sense, or be, you know, in the local, in the gathering of saints in the real sense to understand God's, you know, ways, acts, sorry, or to partake rather, or beneficial, to beneficial, or be a beneficiary of God's acts. All together. Yeah. So Moses knew his ways. He was part of what God was doing. And for you to be part of what God is doing in the earth, you must and should be part of the gathering. All together. So it means that we ought to put a regard on our meeting. So let me say differently. Your meetings, having supernatural experiences, will not be your fundamental incentive. We said this on Sunday, for joining a local church. But the fact that it is doctrinal, that will be your fundamental incentive for joining the local church. Very, very important. Very, very important. All together, right? So the fact is, you can come into a meeting, right, and you think there's a way it should go. But the truth is that the fact that you're already in that meeting as a whole, who determines what needs to be as correct? Oh, let me say it. Who vets the meeting? Yeah, saints through God's word and God himself, we know what the meeting should be for, or we determine what the meeting should be used for. So since God is calling for the meeting, God will determine what he will do, what he can do, right? In alignment as well, in conjunction, in collaboration with men as well. All together, right? So Moses knew the ways of God. That's something God does. That means, what is God doing? God's plan. What is God's vision on the earth? Moses knew it and he partook of it. So he says, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He now says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So the Lord is slow to anger, right? And plenteous in mercy. Are we together, right? So Moses was a man that will bring to the forefront of the mind of the Israelites, what is God's plan, what is God's way. So even when Moses would step aside, Moses would no longer be there, another man needed that responsibility. Like I would say, man is God's method in the earth, right? If God wants to move your life from point A to point B, if God wants to transform your life, yeah, you will find the use of men in action. And also, like I said, the devil as well will also use men. Altogether, right? So there is the presence of God that you have as a believer. There's a presence of God you can come into on account of the association with men, where two or three are gathered, I am there. You can experience a manifest, you know, said that earlier on, a manifest presence of God on account of your association, right, with other men. Now, that's not saying that that's the only place, no. Right, but in consistently, you will see that there is that assurance you have altogether. Right, yeah, that assurance you have that will be linked to the fact that men are involved altogether. So there is no man that is self-made. No man, even the people who think they are self-made are not self-made. Even people who think self-made altogether, just like, you know. You hear someone say that, no, don't let any man teach you. Don't let any man teach you. So who are they saying that to? They are saying it to somebody. And so somebody now hears, don't let any man teach you, right? What have you done in hearing that? You've been taught by another man. You see the point? Yeah. The man that said, don't let any man teach you, has just taught you something. So a man taught you that no man should teach you. Meanwhile, the man that says no man should teach you is teaching you something. You get the point, right? You'll find out that more often than the way you start saying that, you know, like I always say, right, there's a way and mode that the church should be framed. There are certain things that should be found in the church, certain things that should be outside the church. There are certain works of the flesh that should not be found in the local church, right? There's certain traits that should be found in the local church, a sense of honor, devotion, faithfulness, you know, a sense of loyalty, a sense of, you know, togetherness, a sense of unity, a sense of love. Those are the fruits of the spirit that we will find in the, you know, amongst ourselves as saints. But there will be those of works of flesh that you should not find outside. altogether. So, you know, men will be God's method. Men will be how God will do his plan, fulfill his will in the earth. Very, very important. Altogether, right? So God has put a structure in the earth where no man can boast of being self-made. Altogether. Yeah, no man can boast of being self-made. There will always be associations, right? Even those who their parents abandoned them, even those who their parents have neglected them. The truth is that one other man will take care of them. Either foster parents, either home for orphanage. There will always be that practice of men being used by God in every and anything you find. So it means that you need to ensure that you have a good godly heart attitude or heart towards God's men. All together, yeah. So instead of shouting, "Oh, I don't need humans. Humans are so terrible." No, well, look, just look yourself in the mirror. Have you seen what you look like? Have you seen the kind of things you do? Have you seen the kind of things you've done? Together, right? So I know because men are terrible. Men are. You have the categories of the men are scum, women are scumbag. Whatever narrative you know, people pass around in our world, but the truth remains that man is still going to be God's method in the air. Altogether, man will still be God's method in the earth. Man will still be God's method in the earth. Very, very important. So, because man is God's method in the earth, there will be such a thing called coming together of men. Coming together of men. Coming together of men. Yeah? Coming together of men. And you know, relating with people is not, requires a lot of diplomacy, tact, wisdom, love, patience, and all you can think of, all good things you can think of, all together, yeah, all good things you can think of. It's one of these are the things you will put into ensuring that your relationship, you know, with man is growing and getting better. And one of the things I want to say to each of you listening to me today, right, you know, if you find out that, you know, it takes a lot of self-awareness to accept what I'm about to say right now, you know, you can't be the person who everybody who believes, and you have 20 relationships and you don't know how to build relationships for a long period of time, right? You don't, there's nobody in your life you've met that has been friends, that you've been friends with or kept in relationship for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, right? And everybody that's, you know, once one person just messes up, you just decide to, you know, crush them. You know, we're in a world of cancel culture. Altogether, once you just say something, you just do something, people just cancel you. And you know, because of that fear of cancel culture, people don't now know how to correct their friends. You know, everybody just wants those kind of people around us that always tell us, you know, you are doing good, keep going, you are doing well. You know, you need to have friends at times who will tell you, bro, sis, you're not doing well. You need to work on this, you need to work on that. Very important. You see, if you don't have those kind of people around you, yeah, you are a time bomb waiting to explode. Yeah. That you don't have anyone, yeah, you don't have any relationship with anyone, either your friend, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your auntie, your parents, your great-grandparents, your father, yeah, your pastor, right, your church members, or friends, your colleagues. You don't have people who can call you back and say you are not doing well. Yeah, you are a time bomb. You know what Deborah just said right now? Like I said, it takes a lot of self awareness to actually, you know, come into understanding of what I'm just saying. Yeah, easy for you to just say, yeah, I don't mind, I don't want. Yeah, so you don't convert someone who should be telling you certain truths or certain facts about you point blank, right? And convert them to be your enemies. Are we together? Right? Yeah. I go to be your enemy. So you would have conversations where you err. You get that? You have conversations where you will go astray. Right? You know, you must ensure you have those relationships where you can be vulnerable enough for you to be corrected and you accept correction. Like I said, anybody who doesn't know how to take correction, anyone who doesn't know how to receive correction, like I said, I'm saying this, you know, fundamentally, there should be that relationship between you and your spiritual father, your spiritual pastor, your spiritual leader. You should have that. It's one of the, if it comes together with the package, you know. But let's say there, and the truth is that there are certain things that I will know about you only by the Spirit. That's the truth. Because I can't be close to everyone. You understand that? I can't be, let me say that differently. I can't be equally close to everyone. We're growing as a church. You know, where I was 5 years ago is not where I am today. Where I am right now is not where I'll be 5 years from now. There'll be hundreds and thousands of people I'll start relating to in the coming days, very, very soon. Right? So I wouldn't be able to keep that relationship. But I'm saying you want to have sane people around you who can call your attention together. Why? Because back to order, right? Because God will always use men for men. So know those people and know how to ensure that the devil doesn't prevail against those relationships. Very important. Very, very important. You know, we did a series of supernatural relationships in the local church series this time last year, right? Supernatural relationship is something that is supernatural. It's God's method, God's plan, right? And know those people and know how to guard and guide those relationships. Know how to guide and guard with all that you have. It's very important. Yeah. Else, what will happen is you will just be a time bomb waiting to explode, right? We have so many of them on the streets of Twitter, so many of them on the streets of Facebook, so many of them on the streets of TikTok, so many of them on the streets of Instagram. Some of them have exploded. Some of them are at the verge of exploding. Why? Because there's certain relationships that of people who could have called their attention together, right? Who could have called their, you know, brought their attention, brought their heart, brought their focus back to what it should be, particularly for a believer. Yeah, you need to have those people around you. Right. So, I think I said this during the leaders retreat. If I don't step on your toes, are we together? Right. It means we're not walking close enough. If you are 5 meters or 1 mile away from me, I can't step on your toes. It means we're not walking close together. Right. But the moment you start walking close together and start coming close together, right, you will find out that we will step on our toes from time to time. That doesn't mean you should now have a very unruly, ridiculous character because Pastor has said you step on our toes, go always together. No. I'm trying to say you as a person, be open to it. Give people some room, some slack, some patience. Give people some, patience. I think I just use the word patience, right? Yeah, and even for yourself as well, right? Ensure that, you know, no matter what it is, you identify same godly relationships and hold them with all that you have. Very important. Are we together, right? So, there are certain types of certain meetings. Let me just go through some of the meetings you can have as believers, right? Certain meetings you can have as believers. I'll look through them, you know, today and see how I can pick it up, you know, from Wednesday or from Sunday. There are certain kinds of meetings that we can have as believers. I'll just pay attention to that just so that we can run with that. Let's look at the book of Acts, Acts 2. I'm trying to see what we can do today so that we don't. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Go all the way to Acts chapter 1. There's certain kind of meetings that we can have as believers. Look at Acts chapter 1, for instance. We have Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Look at what it says there. The former treatise have I made with Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that in which he was taken up by the Holy Ghost, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles. Now look at verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So number one meeting you can have as a member, as a local church or as saints, is a teaching meeting. Yeah, we're looking at Christian meetings, right? Number one is a teaching meeting, right? We have a teaching meeting, right? You can call it teaching gathering, teaching assembly, teaching meeting, a meeting where we come together, right? And we emphasize this teaching. So what did Jesus do for 40 days, right? They had teaching meetings. So what's teaching meeting? Teaching meeting is a meeting where the teaching of God's word is put as priority. Always. Let me say that differently. The teaching of God's word is done. Exhaustively, and let me not say as priority, because in all meetings, teaching of God's word should be, you know, placed as priority. So teaching meeting is a meeting where, you know, teaching of God's word is placed or is done, so to say, exhaustively, extensively. So Jesus taught for 40 days back to back, having teaching meetings with disciples. I was together, right? Look, if you look at Acts 2, Acts 2:42. Look at Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 41. So we look at Acts 1, 1 to 3. Look at Acts 42. It says 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, right? And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now look at what happens in verse 42. And the people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayer. right? They continue steadfastly in apostles. That means they came together to listen to God's word. Look at that again. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means in the teaching of what the apostles were teaching altogether. So they continued steadfastly. So they came together to listen to God's word altogether, right? They came together to listen to God's word. Yeah, they came together. That's fundamentally. So you look at what happens. 3,000 souls were saved. And the next thing that happens was they coming together to listen to God's word. That's the local assembly. That's the, what is local assembly? Assembling of saints within a locality. You get that? You get that, right? Yeah, yeah. So the emphasis of God's word was placed as priority, right? Yeah, it was placed as priority. So the primary meeting in the church or for the church is the teaching meeting. You can know that you're writing your book. Primary meeting is the teaching meeting altogether. Now, from Acts chapter 1, go back to Acts chapter 1. You see the next meeting that followed suit. Followed suit is Acts chapter 1. Go to verse 13, I believe. We have the teaching meeting. You know, we have the prayer meeting. So look at Acts 1:13, right? And when they were come together, they went up into the upper room, you know, and list those things. Verse 14 now says, this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So second meeting is the prayer meeting. Yeah, we can have a prayer meeting, right? We can have a prayer meeting, right? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Prayer meeting. So we have the teaching meeting, we have the prayer meeting. Look at Acts 4:24. Yeah. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, what did the heathen wage and people imagine vain things? The king of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. You see, can you see, if you ask, you among those who asked me that question, you know, last two Sundays ago, right? You know, using scriptures to pray. Now, can you see an example of how the apostles use scriptures to pray? Let me give you a good context. Look at Acts 4:13. So let me just give you a quick context to what is happening. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Right? It says, and beholding the men which were healed or which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out to the castle, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. It says, but that is spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. Right? And they called them and commanded them not to speak in any, you know, at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Right? But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, so they threatened the disciples, right? They let them go, finding out how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which he has done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was sold. Now, and being let go, they went to their own company. What happened? And they reported all that the chief priests and elders said to them. And when they had heard that, what happened? They lifted up their voice with scriptures. Look at what they did. Lifted up their voice with one accord with scripture and said, Lord, thou art God, which had made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, right? Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did he, and that's Psalms 2, right? Why did the heathen rage and the people conspire or imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against Christ. For of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus Christ, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and Gentiles and the people and all of them. Look at verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold. So they use scriptures to pray. Okay. So now, Lord, is that Psalm 2 or Psalm 8? How will I just miss that? I hope I'm not misquoting. Let me look at. So Psalms, I think it's probably Psalms 2. Yeah, so I'm still verse one. Why did the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth said themselves, and rulers take counsel against the Lord and against the anointed. Right, that's Psalms 2. Look at that before. Right, so he now says in verse 28, for to do whatever the hand and the counsel determined before to be done, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, right, and grant unto the child. That's why you see in God's palace, for instance, right, we use scriptures to pray, right? So, and grant unto thy servants that that with all boldness they might speak thy word. So, you see, this has now become part of our scriptures. So, it means as a church, weakness in the midst of truth. You get that? Right? That's how we use scriptures, right? So, it says, and that with all boldness that they may speak thy word, you know, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Son. Now, what now happens in verse 31? And when there, that means it was a meeting that was together, that they were gathered together to pray. They prayed in the meeting, with God's word in the meeting. Right? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Yeah, you see that word there, shaking, is not a parable, it's not a figurative expression. It means there's a way that you will pray and your atmosphere will feel it. There's a way you will pray and everything around you will feel it. Right, everything around you. So basically, it says the place was shaking where they were assembled together. Right, so they were assembled together to do what, to pray. Right, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Altogether, they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. So there's something called the prayer meeting. Altogether, when we come together to pray. And if you look through the prayer life of the apostles, prayer life of Jesus, the emphasis will be on the things that concern the body, that is the church, the body of Christ, or what God is doing in the earth, right? When you find yourself always praying for yourself, you want a job, you want a car, you want a house, you want this, you want, that's what your prayer point is revolves around. Yeah, you are finding yourself in the same category of those who want to see the acts of God, right? But they don't want to pay attention to the ways of God. Right, yeah, but we ought to be like those who are like, we ought to be like Moses, who understand the ways of God, and in our understanding of the ways of God, we see his acts, we see the supernatural, we see the miraculous. All together, very important. Yeah, if your Christian faith has you praying for yourself more, right, you are not praying the Christian way. Let me say it differently, right? If in your prayer life you are praying for yourself more, you are not praying, you don't have a prayer life. Let me say that. You don't actually have a prayer life, so to say. Yeah, that's me being careless with words, right? So you need to ensure that your place of prayer, you have others as priority, another as priority, right? Or fundamentally, yeah, and you'll see how it revolves around the will of God on the earth. Are we together? So they prayed together, yet they prayed for themselves, but you see that it was regarding God's will, God's plan be done amongst men, being done within in the earth. Are we together? Right? So we pray for ourselves, we pray for others, right? But there's something called a prayer meeting. Yeah, so when you see prayer meetings where, you know, you are joining prayer meetings for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and all what you are praying is your job, your car, your house, your job, your car, your house, your career, your this thing, you know, are you praying? Yes, you're praying. But, you know, you've got to build your prayer life around what the examples we see in the scripture will be. Altogether, you see the apostles build their prayer life around those mundane things. They're really mundane things. I would get the really mundane things. That's the truth. Like I always say, expect, open your heart for the supernatural, for the miraculous, you know, but nothing will last except that which you have done for the kingdom or that which you are doing for the kingdom. I would get that. So we have the teaching meeting. We saw that we have the prayer meeting, right? Look at Acts 12 verse 5. Acts 12 verse 5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God, unto God, for him. So they prayed and prayed and prayed for Peter. What's that? What are they praying? Deliverance from evil and wicked men. Deliverance from unreasonable men. You see that allusion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Altogether, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have a free course with you, even as it is with you. That the word of God may have a free course with you, even as it is with us, right? Yeah, that we will be delivered from evil and unreasonable men. Altogether, for not all men have faith, right? So that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, right? Similar to what you see, Peter was captured, and what the church began to pray unto God for his deliverance, for his escape. altogether, right? The blessedness of prayer, like I would say, I started saying this some like 6 7 years ago, right? That the blessedness of prayer is in the fact that a man has prayed. Don't get your mind to be wobbling around what if, the what's called the myth of the unanswered prayers, right? But I prayed like this, God didn't answer. You see, you get better. No matter what you say the result is, no matter what the result seems to be like, you get better once you just give yourself in place of prayer. All together. So there's a prayer meeting, there's a teaching meeting, right? And I'm going to focus on teaching and prayer meeting just for just today, so you can we can ponder on that for today, right? But you see, every other meeting would have its basis on the teaching meeting. Right, there will be the teaching meeting, there will be, God's word being taught, like we said, exhaustively, and in that meeting, we see hearts of men, yielding to God's word and yielding to understand God's will and his plan. That's where you have all the teachings of the soteriology, the theology, the pneumatology, the ecclesiology, eschatology, do you understand, ecclesiology, all the logics we spoke about earlier on in teaching. That teaching meeting, also when you have prayology, where you teach about the study on prayer. Altogether, right? So a good teaching meeting will, if you're taught God's word well, it will fine-tune what your prayer meeting will be like. That's why you see, as a church, we don't come together, right, and spend hours and days of our lives. We pray for our house, your job, your car, your dad. No. Yeah, that's not what your focus in the place of prayer should be. That's not it. Altogether, all right. That's not what you're listening to my words carefully. That's not what your focus and place of prayer should be. Altogether, am I saying don't pray for No, I'm not saying that, But you see consistently through scripture the life of Jesus, right? It's for a reason why we don't have the record of those. You see, people always say it this way that, and Jesus prayed for material things. Yeah, apostles prayed for material things. It's for a reason that we don't have those things written in scriptures. Altogether, we don't have Peter took 3 days fasting to pray for God to give him a job or to give him a house. No, we don't have those recorded scriptures. Altogether, but you will see, right? Paul will tell the church, he says, I cease not to pray for you. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, right? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, will give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. Yeah. So I cease not to. Yeah. So Paul's prayer will consistently cover the lives of others, particularly on the path of ministry. Yeah, you can only have a successful biblical, epistolical, or apostolic prayer life, to the degree in which you are taught. So if you are taught from scriptures to always see your needs first, you convert all the scriptures to your needs, and you will eat the good of the land, your business shall flourish like the tree that's planted in the middle of the blessed is the man who if that's what your theology, your bibliology is another one. Yeah, bibliology is actually the study of the book of the Bible, right? If your study of God's word, the study of of God generally hinges around yourself, me, myself, and I, your prayer life will reflect that. Altogether, that's why I realize from sometimes in local church when you see that we're supposed to pray for the nation or pray for the for people in power and all of those things, people reduce their voices. When it's time to pray for themselves, they shout and cry and put in all their emotions into it. Altogether, so your theology that is based on what you learn from teaching meetings and all of those things will fine tune what your emphasis should be in the place of prayer, right? What your emphasis should be. Look at what Jesus says to them in Luke 24, verse 39, as we close today. Look at Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Yeah, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But look at what it says. It says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So he asks them to wait, tarry, to wait. Right? To wait there will not mean to just wait and be starting picture and be watching and be observing. No. Yeah, what happened? We saw that in Acts chapter 1 earlier on, verse 13 and 14, when they restored their name. They went into the upper room and they were praying. They prayed. Are we together? They prayed. Yeah, what was the precedence of their prayer, or what preceded their prayer? Yeah, what preceded their prayer was the 40 days teaching ministry of Jesus, which summarized as tarrying in Jerusalem, which the summary got to tarrying in Jerusalem, right, until you be endued with power from on high. All together, so we have a teaching meeting. Altogether, right? So in teaching meeting, the truth is that, and there will be certain things about our life, certain things about God's word that will be exposed to us. Altogether, certain things about God's word will be exposed to us, right? We don't play around it. Altogether, it's the most important. like I said, it's the most important teaching meeting. You see, if you don't have a solid teaching meeting, your Holy Ghost meeting will be a flop. Evangelical meeting will be a flop. Are we together? That's if you even do evangelism. Are we together? If your teaching meeting is not right, it's not on track, it's not on point, you will find out that you will not have a burning desire and passion for souls. You will not have a burning desire and passion for, you know, for the things, the ways of God, the things of God, the plans of God. Are we together? Right? So you will see that teaching is so important, and then it flows into your prayer life. Altogether, yeah. So if you say you want to, so you should really have scenarios or conversations where you stay for weeks and days fasting and praying. Altogether, you know, some of us believe, you know, prayer is a done. We just do done. We don't pray too much. No. You don't like. Let me say something. You see, if every believer acts the way they need to act in the place of prayer, everybody will be covered in the place of prayer. Do you know what I just said? Right. If ideally every believer acts as they ought to act in the place of prayer, everybody will be covered. Every believer will be covered in the place of prayer. All together. Yeah. Every believer will be covered in the place. Because if I'm praying for you, you're praying for me. I'm covered. You are covered. All together. Imagine I just call your name and just said, my brother, my sister. I mention your name and I say, in the coming year, in the coming days, your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. And you three are praying, my pastor, in the coming days, my eyes will be understanding. You see better. You see clearly. You see the wisdom of God's spirit. Yeah. Who is covered? You are covered. I am covered because I'm praying for you. You are praying for me. And that's how God's will, and that's really God's will for us in the end. All together, right? When you're having a passion for God's word, and you also understand that because you are giving to the practice and act of prayer, you yourself as a believer, you are getting better. So you didn't pray for yourself in the real sense with your name as a focus in place of prayer, but because you prayed, you got better. Like we say, the blessedness of prayer is in fact that the man has prayed. Are we together? Yeah. The blessedness of prayer and the man, in fact, that the man has prayed. So, Paul say, I see that's Paul. Yeah. So imagine Paul being your pastor, being the one who led you to Christ and discipled you for a bit before you got into prison. Say, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you continuously in my prayer, that the eyes of understanding. Right? Another one we say in Philemon chapter 1, right? Yeah, I've heard of your Lord and love and faith towards Christ Jesus and towards yourself and towards the saints, right? Yeah, and I seek not to pray for, I seek not to make mention of you as well, that your faith, that the communication of your faith will become more effectual by the acknowledgement of everything good thing that's in Christ Jesus. Yeah, communication of your faith, that I seek not to. So Paul will constantly pray for the people that he's ministering to, right? And Paul will now teach them that you pray for your pastor, you pray for your leader, you pray for your discipler. So who is not covered in place of prayer when prayer is done that way? No one is not covered. Everyone is covered. That's what I mean to say, right? So you are covered. I am covered. Your friends are covered. Your siblings are covered. Yeah? So you pray for your siblings pray for you. You pray for your friends pray for you. Who is covered? You are covered. Your friend is covered. Your brother is covered. Your sister is covered. But you will not have a proper grasp of God's of what prayer should be and should mean to you if you don't have a good theology. And we're together. If you don't have a good theology, that means you don't have a good teaching as a foundation. Very, very important. Very, very important. Very, very important. Right. So, you know, on Sunday, we'll pick it up again from there and come visit some of the teachings, some of the kinds of meetings we have. We'll look at outreaches, look at Holy Ghost meetings. What are Holy Ghost meetings? You know, we have them as a church. You know, we want to look at them from the prison of God's word. You know, what is a workers meeting? What exactly is, you know, there's something called workers meeting. We have that in Nigerian church, you know, but, you know, in coming days as well, we'll start establishing that structure as well in the UK church, right? You have workers meeting. You also have love feast. These are meetings in the Bible, right? That believers can have. You have teaching meeting, prayer meeting, evangelical meeting. You know, you have healing meeting as well. You have Holy Ghost meeting. You have Holy Ghost meeting can be called believers meeting. You know, you also have several other meetings as well that we'll just look into in the community. Then also, which is the crux of this teaching, is special meetings. What exactly is it about special meetings, right? Because you can have a special meeting. That means a meeting that is not, you know, it can have a blend of so many. It can have a blend of teaching, a blend of prayer. It can have a blend of, do you understand? You have a blend of teaching, impartation. You have a blend of, you know, and prayer. You have a blend of, you know, Holy Ghost meeting. You have a blend of, you know, healing as well. You know, so those are special meetings, you know, like the one we're going to be having in the coming days this year, particularly. Well, Being a player to bring God's word your way today, and I hope that that has instructed your heart, right? Some of the things we said was around how we need to ensure that we create a sense of reverence and regard for our meetings. Are we together, right? It's God's will that you are a member of a local church. It's God's will that you are a member of a gathering. There's such a thing called God, such a thing called God building small communities that will grow or that should grow. Yeah, so the community will start small, you know, but the goal is that it grows and it keeps expanding, it keeps growing, right? Yeah, the moment you find yourself as an active member of a local church, let me tell you, right, you are actively, continuously, perpetually, right, doing that which God expects. And don't get me wrong, all together, right? There's no time being a part of a local church. All together will be seen. A local church, you know, where God's word is taught, where the teaching of God's word is given as president, there's no time you consider that as wrong. Altogether, it's God's time. Altogether, it's time for God. It's time for training, time for discipleship. You know, one of the things you don't want to do for yourself is start, you know, saying, there's no need comparing your church with another church. There's no need. It's not necessary. Altogether, in that way, for my church, we just used to meet once in a month. Well, if that's fine for you, that's okay. Altogether, yeah? This is our church. We only meet once a week. I like when we are meeting every day. Altogether, right? The most important thing is find yourself in a local church where God's word is placed as priority, right? Because once that is sorted, you start seeing how believers' meetings are. Have you not noticed the believers' meetings we have in God's palace, right? They revolve around things around ministry, things around God's will, things around God's plan, things around, you know, and in all of those things around God's will, God's plan, God's, you know, purpose and everything, we also see God's acts. Are we together? We have supernatural experiences. We have experiences at our workplace. We have experiences with our jobs, experiences in our homes, with the things we can afford, the things how we grow. Yeah, but that's not the focus of the church. Focus is what is God's spirit in on the earth. How can I be a part of that? How can I be a part of that? All together. Well, being a prayer to bring God's word your way, think and trust you'll be instructed by that. We'll pick it again on Sunday. Well, Sunday, like I would always say, is our evangelism meeting. We also have a believers meeting on Sunday. Okay? Right? Come ready. Come warm. Right? The weather's still cold. Come warm. Because after church, we'll just go right into the streets and ensure that we get men discipled, get men saved, get men, you know, to hear God's word from our lips. It's part of God's will. Do you understand? We can only do that. Yeah, I'm going to teach on Sunday, probably on Sunday or the week after, around how we give out. How our church meetings are more important than our private devotions, because our private devotions will be fueled from our church meetings. I'll say that one more time, right? Our church gathering, church meeting is not your devotion first. They say, I stay in my house, I'm just having, no, it's church meetings. And from there, that stands as a foundation and fuel for your devotion. Yeah, I'm going to teach on that on Sunday or probably the week after, you know, but that's why we'll come to church. And after we finish teaching God's word, we have a believers meeting, we go out to the streets and ensure that we share God's word to people and trying to, you know, bring to remembrance of those who have heard before and also to say to those who have never heard before about what God wants for them and their lives. Well, so I'll see you on Sunday. Like I said, dress warm, come warm. We trust that God's power is going to move right in our meeting. You know, be ready to receive from saints, ready to give to saints as well. That's what a believers meeting will entail when we come together, right? And every saint participates to ensure that, you know, we are communicating God's will, God's plan to ourselves and also to encourage ourselves in God's will and also in God's plan. I'll see you on Sunday. Have a lovely night. Cheers. Good night.